Hello to everyone, and welcome to our Green Alumni event. My name is Vivian Blümel. I'm co-founder and CPO at Green Solar Academy. And our topic of today is recapping on the Intersolar, Europe's biggest solar show that happened on 7th to 9th of May, which was a while ago, but it was so big and overwhelming that it took us a while to process, I guess. We are going to look at what happened at Intersolar and analyze together what is happening there and what can we copy as South Africans from Europe, how are European markets developing, and how do we compare our market in South Africa with that? Especially because our market over here is a bit quiet. So maybe there's a few things that we can copy, successful strategies that we can adapt. I have three panelists with me, whom one or the other might already know. But before I introduce you, I have some technical info. At the bottoms of your screen, you have a Q&A function. So if you as audience have a question, you just type the question there in that, not in the chat, please, but in the Q&A field. So then we can see it and we can manage the questions accordingly. And we will make time at the end to answer most of them, I hope. We are recording the session, so if you cannot make it or if you miss parts, we will provide a link to the recording, which you are happy to share. And because we want to know who is here, I have prepared a little poll. Where is it? There we go. Which I'm going to launch right now. So you will see some questions popping up on your screens right now. I'll leave the poll running for a bit. Please tell us who you are and where you're from. And based on the results, we can maybe steer the conversation in a direction that is interesting for you. Let us know who is here. And I will let you know who is here in the panel with me. I have Wadud Ahmed from Pranic Solar. One or two sentences to introduce yourselves.
Yes, Vivian. So I'm the managing director for Kranich Solar here in South Africa. So I've been operating this branch for almost 6 years. I've been in the PV industry now for almost 9 years.
Cool. And you were at Intersolar and
Correct. I
right
was
in the
there
middle of it.
every year. That's like a must visit for me. I go to the Intersolar Munich. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. Then we have André Du Brand from Victron.
Afternoon, Vivian. Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. I'm André Durand from Victron Energy. I'm the area manager for Southern Africa. I've been working for Victron Energy now for 16 years, and I've been going to Intersolar for roughly 16 years as well. So, that's me in a nutshell.
That's impressive. Thank you. Last not least, that's Zander from Schletter.
Yeah, good afternoon. Zander de Bruin from Schletter. I'm the sales manager for rooftop and ground mount for South Africa and Sub-Saharan Africa region. I suppose this was my first Intersolar Europe in Munich, quite exciting one. Just for a bit of background on Schletter, we're Europe's largest manufacturer of mounting structures. Munich is our hometown, so we always go all out for Intersolar Munich, and it was great to experience that.
I think André remembers the Schletter parties back in the day, so the very big ones at the manufacturing side. That was golden times.
There's always more than one beer going around.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Cool. Yeah, thank you. So I think it's a good round to provide some good insights into the industry from a European and also South African lens. I thought because our market is so quiet at the moment, and I'm seeing we have quite a few installation companies and solar consulting or service companies in the audience. I thought it's interesting to discuss strategies that companies can apply when markets go quiet. And the most common, like when you look up business management 101, the most practical strategies are definitely diversifying your services or specializing into specific services in order to still guarantee growth and resilience for your business. So we're going to discuss how Intersolar was like and then look at those two fields as focus topics to compare what South African companies can do. So let's start, maybe Andre, with you, because you've been there a couple of years already. How was this year's show? What was the vibe? Who was there? What was your impression?
Well, for Victron Energy, we had it's our 50th anniversary this year, so we had a big celebration around that, and it was quite well received by all the visitors at our booth. We had really good connections with the installers and project companies, distributors, and end users. But in general, we noticed a big shift towards the C&I solutions. So there were a lot more exhibitors displaying these solutions, and many of them had the same form factor. So we also noticed a lot of EMS and smart meters and smart systems were just prominent around. So there's definitely a shift in the market towards that space. But once again, very impressive. It was big. But we also saw many new Chinese exhibitors, which is also kind of a shift in the market.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was like 12 or 18 halls, eh? I think 18 almost. 18 halls of exhibitors, and like one hall was two halls of Masrec, if like to put that into scale. It's it was massive.
Yeah, I remember when I first went there many years ago, it was all the halls and all the outside parking areas where all the massive trackers and solar installations. It was really incredible. You needed 2 weeks to see everything. So I don't know how people get to squeeze everything in 3 days.
Yeah, I have no idea. Did any of you walk around and actually see something from the expo?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I always like to take my time and take a walk around through all the halls and to see what everybody's exhibiting. So it was very busy as usual, but I think I could see that a lot of the exhibitors, they have a focus on energy management systems, and everybody has like a commercial storage solution that they're exhibiting. And also EV charging is also very popular now. So there's a lot of commonalities with a lot of the exhibitors. But yeah, it's always very interesting to see, I mean, the magnitude of that exhibition compared to what we are used to in Africa.
Yeah, it's like they're different. They're living in different
Dimensions,
atmospheres. Yeah,
yeah.
it's
Well,
much bigger.
hopefully we get there one day in Africa, but I agree with you. At this stage, there's nothing like it in Africa yet for a sense of scale. Yeah, just to add on to what you were saying, I think there's quite a clear split between companies focusing on utility scale and companies that are more in the residential and C&I space developing between the exhibitors on that side. From the structural perspective, I think it's quite different if you're exhibiting trackers or if you're exhibiting for flat roofs. But we're still all very much in the same hall. But it is interesting to see what is coming out of the different countries in terms of the quality in that. However, I think Germany still flew its flag very proudly in terms of the quality of products that were being exhibited there.
Yeah. No, it was completely international, but I think the target market definitely was Europe and even Germany in a way. So there was a lot for the German market. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course their market is quite different from South Africa, with I believe heading towards 60% of their power from renewables currently. And I think they haven't quite reached the export on renewables to a full extent yet to neighboring countries, but The subsidies certainly helping a lot of small residential installations in the country, something that I hope South Africa can also learn from moving forward to transfer a lot of wealth to potentially lower income groups in the middle class that way, which has been very successful in Germany and in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, they have been one of the first countries to do it. So yeah, it kind of worked. Maybe Wadud, you have because Kranich has offices in Germany and South Africa, so you sort of know both markets. How is the European market doing at the moment?
So European market, I mean, it is even though it is has slowed down a bit, as that's what they say, but still, I would say in Europe they are still doing pretty well, even though they face some stagnation due to regulatory uncertainties and economic pressure. But they have a strong commitment towards the growth in the renewables sector, and everybody's very hopeful, and that's why they actually like to actually showcase the latest technologies and also the way forward and their plans ahead. So they're actually overall very optimistic, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they understand the better like how the PV industry works in cycles. So there's an
Yes.
upcycle and downcycle. I think they have a longer history of that. So from the experiences that they've made in the past, that allows them actually also to be more optimistic in that sense.
Yeah. No, I think that describes it really, that they have accepted that this down period is just a period and then it's gonna go up again. Definitely. Yeah, no, I share that. I feel like the mood was quite positive after all. Everyone was like, yeah, no, the year has been a bit quiet, but still they were looking forward.
Yeah, also, Vivian, if you think about, I mean, Carnage as a distributor, we are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year.
Yes.
So the company was started by Kurt Carnage in 1995. So our owner has seen all the ups and downs, and so he's not worried at all about the future of PV. So actually, Carnage itself is heading towards more growth. Yeah,
Yeah.
so we're
And
investing
I
more
think
and more.
in Germany especially, we have reached the point of no return, that like we passed 50% of renewables in the generation of power. So now everyone just accepts the fact that we are not going back to fossil fuels. Are we far from that point in South Africa? What is your opinion, Andre?
I think we're still far away. A lot still needs to happen regulation-wise, and I think privatization as well of the grid and all the aspects of the grid for us to really move in the right direction. And that will open more funding, and I think that's when things will really start to happen. But I think we're still quite a way. We're still below, I think, what, 6%? Of our total production comes from renewable energy in South Africa, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, we're still quite a way away.
Yeah, but that means, I mean, is the cup half full or half empty? Hey, so for us as installers, I guess there's still a lot to install. Before we
So,
can, yeah.
sorry, one thing I wanted to say that we noticed in Europe from a lot of visitors at the expo was that they were looking for new developments, new features, new software, new products, of course, but also just general something new that they can offer to their customers. So, which is quite interesting for us because, I mean, we always try and launch new features and new possibilities at Intersolar. So we actually welcome that kind of attitude from the visitors. So I just thought it's interesting to bring that up because obviously they want to use that to go into the marketplace and generate more sales from that.
Yeah. Before we continue, one last question on the European market. How much can we compare it to South Africa, really? Or are there, Zander, you already said the feed-in tariffs are a topic. How much different is it from South Africa?
I think that there's quite substantial differences, as I think a lot of the pioneering work there was done, I suppose, together with the residential market. But it was also at a different era where payback periods were quite a lot longer in terms of the infrastructure. So German products tended to focus very much on longevity. let's call it design lives of 25 to 40 years on systems. I think currently we're heading in terms of the way that the price has come down in terms of modules, but also installed systems over the last 20 years to payback periods in a number of, 1, 2, 3 years, depending on what type of systems we're talking about. So it's become very, very cost effective. Secondly, the German electricity price is significantly higher per watt than the South African electricity price. So there's also a bigger incentive to sell into the grid that side than in South Africa. And I suppose finally, there is a lot of space constraints due to things like limited agricultural land. So that makes systems like tracking systems very attractive to be used where you've got limited space. Where in South Africa, we actually have an ideal climate for solar in many ways of evaluating it. And that let's call it excess of land is, it allows different systems to be used than would be used in Europe.
Yeah. Okay. But that sounds like South Africa still has very good conditions for solar. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. No, then let's dive deeper into the business strategies, what South African companies can actually do. And I see that some new attendees joined. There is still the poll up and running. So please, if you haven't given an answer there, still do. And then I will close it in a bit and everyone can see the results. So let's speak about diversification. That means that companies venture into new products or services in order to reduce risks that come with depending on one single product or one single factor that is driving sales, like load shedding. And the goal is to build up more than one revenue stream so that you can survive quiet or stagnant times like these. Andre, you said already there was a lot of like EV chargers and EMS and all of that at the Intersolar. So is it still only about solar energy today? Or what else must we have in mind when we're running a solar business?
We have to look for smarter solutions. If I was in the solar market and selling direct to the industry, I would not put all my... what's the word for it? I would diversify. I would have much smarter solutions, and I would promote that. And with smarter solutions, of course, you need to give a better service, a higher level of service. So more of an engineered solution. And I think the market's ready for that. Coupled with the right kind of marketing, there's growth there. And when you ask about solar, I mean, Victron Energy, we're very fortunate. Our solar market's divided into many different sectors, like the off-grid market, the on-grid energy storage market, and then we have industrial and agricultural markets and agricultural markets. And we see in these channels, we see challenges, but we also see a lot of positive developments. So I think we are busy coming out of a slump at the moment in South Africa in the markets that we are active in. I think we should see some positive growth towards the end of the year, really, in volume. Maybe not in turnover because of the trend from the last 2 years with the price of everything coming down and everybody trying to match pricing and be more competitive on price. But I think the time has come not to only sell products and solutions on price, but have a lot of value add. So your diversification should be looking at that.
Yeah. You mentioned agricultural applications as one field in solar. And I think...
Yes.
Zenda, as a mounting system manufacturer, is the right person to ask there. I know that at Intersolar, it has been quite a hype for a couple of years now, but it feels like now it has arrived. What do you say? Is it relevant yet? Do you have solutions for that? And is it going to be something to look into in South Africa?
Yes, definitely, definitely relevant. That might look slightly different from the agri-PV systems that we've done in places island climates like the Caribbean, or in limited space areas like the recent 140 megawatt tracker we did in Austria for dual use of land. But the tracking systems tend to be most cost effective when you do have that space constraint. But it is possible from a structural engineering standpoint to build different structures that do not need to be tracking systems, especially when you're in a high, let's call it a high energy environment relative to some of the areas we work in, like South Africa, where you've got good generation capacity. So that is definitely relevant. And it's interesting because I see, if you look at the next few years in our market, the three areas to consider, one would be the small scale C&I residential sector, which is long rooftop, but also new products such as carports and small fixed-tilt installations for farmers and so on. Then there's the medium scale C&I
Sorry,
sector.
Randa, it's getting a bit hard to understand you. Is that for the others as well?
Yeah. You're
All
breaking up
right,
this end though.
let's
Let's
try
see.
again. Is that better?
Yes, that's much better. Sorry. Yes.
All right. So sorry, let me just recap this. I was saying the three sectors in terms of, let's call it projects below 100 kilowatt peak, then the ones between 100 and 1 megawatt, and then the projects in the utility scale, which is generally going to be more than 10 megawatt projects. And those are typically fixed tilt projects. Now, the skill set required on the utility scale is quite different from the skill sets on, let's call it, the small end of the market, as it's mainly a civil engineering topic. You're talking geotech, soil conditions, things like concrete foundations or pile driving in terms of that insulation. So there's a lot of skills that need to be transferred into our sector in solar from the civil engineering sector there. That is going to be quite relevant, as I think that's going to be the major avenue for solar growth in South Africa and Africa for the next 10 years. So that's a place where, for example, if we look at, there's quite a lot of big tracking projects coming up in Africa. But to look at the operation and maintenance of a system like that over its lifespan, you're talking creating permanent jobs in rural areas for a period of 25 years or longer for those systems. And those are skills that don't currently exist. So it's both a barrier and an opportunity on that side. But yeah, on the medium scale of the market and the small scale, I see a lot of installers, let's call it pivoting to also include ground-mounted installations in their portfolio, because they cannot predict with their client base or the people that they are in contact with if it's what type of project is going to come up. So I think that is also quite a big opportunity that we've discussed as well in Munich to have a look at how do we train that end of the market to ensure that the correct skills and quality still goes through to make sure that people at the end user stage get value for money.
Yeah, I can see that being a gap since the discussion in South Africa have really focused on the electrical parts, eh? So electricians and electrical engineers really hijacked the whole solar industry, and the civil engineers have been a bit reluctant at the start. But yeah, we see that changing with the products being bigger and being more commercial. Yeah. Do you offer some kind of support there, Wadud? Is that on your agenda? Skills transfer in that sector.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we at Carnage, we host regular training events. So we have like an entire week where we invite the different manufacturers that we have in our portfolio to give a hands-on training. It's either Johannesburg, Cape Town, or Durban. That's where actually the attendees can actually get hands-on experience instead of just watching a webinar. I think that's helps a lot with the upskilling of our customers. And also, I would advise everyone who's listening also to send their staff to these events and to take the opportunity. It's free of charge, or we charge a small fee, which you will get a voucher for, which you can redeem with your next purchase. So there's a lot of value to gain. And I would definitely emphasize that is something you should make use of. And we will also continue to offer these events because that I believe has the best, ROI kind of,
As a training provider, I can only confirm that.
Yeah, if
Do
you're
training and use
new.
the resources. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Andre, you said that we must also step up our service game, providing better service, better maintenance. Let's speak about that a bit more. What are the weaknesses of South African installers in that regard? What are we doing wrong right now?
Yeah, with the load shedding being a massive disruptor actually in the last 8 years or so, we've had waves of new installers coming and going, and you know the end customer always is left in the lurch. And when you've got to pick up where somebody else has left off, it's very difficult to offer a good service and not charge the customer money. But what we've learned out of all of this is, and as part of what we do is have a proper monitoring system in place, educate people how it works, make sure it's properly set up and it can communicate with you and you can communicate back with your customer. I mean, all the hardware nowadays have remote monitoring, enable that, offer that service because that allows you to go back to the customer, give them good news about the system, and you create happy moments and not unhappy moments because you can build on happy moments, get more referrals, do an upgrade on your system, do a maintenance. And that's where people have to focus on, I think, is more positivity, focus on what the system can do, and definitely service level agreements. If you can offer that for certain customers, we see the if you look at the type of customers out there buying solar systems are all family people, and a lot of them don't have the time to understand how everything works, so they need a bit of guidance. So if we put a little bit of extra effort into offering support and service work, there's more business out there. From our side, that's what we look at, and we try and really teach installers to use our remote monitoring system, make it work for themselves, help educate the users, and enable them to understand how the system works.
And I can see that being a stepping stone as well into the commercial market because you sort of train with the smaller residential systems where it's easier. And then when you start out in the CNI space, then you know what to look out for and how to perform the service, and you have your structures and procedures in place to service bigger systems.
100%. It's all about structure. I think also as you grow into the larger systems, if you don't have any structure in what you're doing, can only create problems.
Yeah, definitely. What would you as a wholesaler, do you provide any support in that regard if businesses are struggling with that side?
So we do provide support. First of all, the technical support, which is given by us, if anybody buys the equipment from us. We provide the first level support on every product, and then we help also with the communication with the manufacturer in order to resolve the problem. Then, if there is any issue with the funding, we can put the installer in touch with the company that offers funding, so they can assist with up to 2 million rand currently. So, and it's very simple to use. They just do a quick vetting process, and then you will get a credit facility with them, which allows you to purchase the equipment from us.
I think maybe that helps because I shared the results of the poll right here. The majority of our audience said they are struggling finding projects at all, and then if you said securing financing for projects is also difficult, but probably it goes hand in hand. If you find a customer and you have the financing solution coming with it, it might be the point where you convince your customers to use you instead of others. Last point in the field of diversification of a business. What would at your stand, you had also solar cleaning strategies, not just at this Intersolar, but also at the solar show. Is it something people should look into? I mean, I personally always said solar cleaning is not really needed. It's kind of a made up business. What's your opinion? It's been around for such a long time, so there must be something.
No, absolutely. Solar panel cleaning is essential actually to ensure that your system generates properly. Because you must remember, most of the people, they just use water or maybe even like dishwashing liquid to clean the panels, but that's not something you should be doing. So we're also educating the customers in that regard. There are a proper solar cleaning solutions that are available. So we have partnered up with a Portuguese company, Chemitech. They have a patented solution that does not affect the warranty at all. So it is a concentrate that you dilute in the ratio of 1 to 50, and that helps you to clean all the soiling and any other dirt that is on the panels. And at the same time, it puts an anti-static coating onto the solar panel, which also ultimately means the frequency of cleaning the solar panels is also reduced by it. So this is extremely useful for the companies that are offering the maintenance. Also, in their service offerings. So you have to send out your staff way less to clean solar panels because it just increases the time that the cleaning is required for the panels. And that is, again, it's certified by all the tier one solar panel manufacturers. So there is no harm to your warranty.
Okay, good. Sounds like a plan if you're thinking about starting offering more services than just installation, solar cleaning, and having a partner like that. Okay, so to summarize, we said we've got diversification in terms of offering more services like cleaning services, maintenance services, service level agreements, and then also looking into different sectors, not just the typical residential, but also looking left and right, off-grid, commercial now, agriculture, and all the other market segments that are out there. And I think you guys would be available to have an idea chat with your customers to see what their strengths would be and what fields to venture into. Quick reminder, we have a Q&A function down there. I see two people have already been using it. One of them a link to the Kranich online shop. Thank you, Jandre. Yes, so if you have questions on the way, just pop them down there and then we can answer them towards the end. Before we come to our second topic, the specialization, let me propose some ideas to you. Where can I share my screen here? No. Yeah, okay. There we go. This is our website, and this is my little commercial break. So I want to show you two courses that might be a good support on the way to specialize in certain areas. One of them being the commercial PV design course, because that one is a 3-day master class focusing on everything you need to know on commercial design, where you can master really designing and sizing product projects, choosing the right product, using software with it in order to streamline your internal processes, make it faster, make it more efficient. Yeah, you're going to practice all along, and you know our courses, you know our training. So you will be working on real life case studies using real life components, and it will be all very applicable. As alumni, of course, you get a 10% discount. Then the second course is our compliance for PV systems. The designer comes with 3 CPD points, by the way, if you're an engineer, that is maybe relevant for you. The compliance for PV systems course is an opportunity to specialize in everything about compliance, which in the end is then about testing and fault finding. So maybe you want to make that a focus area of your business, the whole testing, commissioning, and fault finding part. Dates and everything are available online. So you can find them on the website. You can find our phone number on the website. You can call Sakani and she can make you an offer for your company. Okay. So let's speak about specialization. Zander, in markets that are quite swamped already, we can almost always observe a drop in quality. How can installers turn that into a competitive advantage for themselves?
So I think it's interesting that you also mentioned compliance at this stage. Andre also mentioned earlier that we saw during the load shedding chaos that the focus was on give me power now, not how long is my system going to last or has it been installed correctly or anything in this regard. I've had numerous installers and even homeowners contact me over the last year with many, many
Imagine.
questions. Sorry, my battery is running low.
Oh, shame.
I'll look at that now, but can you hear me now?
No.
I think it's just something that I'd like to say there as well, Vivian, about standards is that's something that we really focus on in our events, especially when we have a multi-day workshop. We invite certain outside contractors or professionals that cover these compliances and standards for in our events. So if you see any big Victron events coming up, especially multi-day events, have a look at the program. You'll see a lot that we're doing with regard to compliance for people that want more general information about standards. While we wait for Xander to get his audio right, I just thought I'd add that in.
Thank you.
You tell me when you're ready.
Sorry, is that any better? I've switched
Yeah,
to a
you're
backup phone.
quite soft, but we'll try.
All right, let's move it to the side.
That sounds better.
So I think that the compliance creates quite a lot of opportunities for installers, especially if they are looking for additional work to target specific companies. I've seen most of the shift has gone from requiring power immediately to solve a load shedding crisis to a financial investment case. And that's usually mines, property funds, businesses in general, even small and medium-sized businesses investing for wheeling purposes and other purposes. So there's definitely a greater requirement to optimize and maximize the yields on those systems that have been installed over the past 10 years. I see there's greater care being taken this year than in previous years, but there must be many, many gigawatts of systems out there at the moment that that could use a bit of tweaking.
And also optimization. That's another big term that you can bring in there is to optimize it. With maybe the system's out of date, you can update it, add some new features that's already built into it, optimize the energy production. Something that we're focusing on now in the specialization field is time of use, bringing in more time of use features to minimize your using the most expensive form of energy. We have a feature called Dynamic ESS where the algorithm is set up to allow the user to use the cheapest form of energy. It's not ready in South Africa yet because the grid company is not putting out an API, but we have time of use periods that you can program into it. And that also falls into the specialization field and optimization, of course.
I think that really matches with what we saw at the expo, hey? That the product was exactly the same at each stand, and the innovations really came with the software and with that energy optimization and energy management. And these days in South Africa, I think we're not that far away from the requirements for the European market, or at least we can adapt to all of that. Yeah.
And the high wattage modules that we're seeing now require very specific criteria for being mounted onto systems to actually realize that. Many of them are overheating or operating at unsafe temperatures, also losing generation capacity due to that. So I think I do, as I was saying in the beginning, I hear regularly people complaining that they're not getting what they're supposed to out of their systems. And that has maybe also gone through to the media to indicate people being dissatisfied with solar performance. But it's not necessarily because of the technology. It's more likely due to the installation.
Definitely, yeah. And that is, I mean, that is a reason to go back to the customer and like check and change the settings to match the current market situation, from not load shedding anymore to more of a cost saving approach, and maybe turning that into a service level agreement. Yeah.
Cost saving for the residential market for sure. Currently, I mean, there's limited proposals for making money out of it currently, but every year should see a price increase in terms of Eskom's tariffs and that. So it definitely still makes financial sense if you look at it over. Most of the modules are designed to operate for 30 years. So 30 years is a very, very simple business case to make for that.
It is, definitely. And we, I mean, speaking about specialization, must we specialize in sales now?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, we've had, as a manufacturer, we've been meeting many financial institutes now recently to explore this financial specialization field. And these financial companies are happy to learn that we're a family-owned company, 50 years old. We have service centers and repair centers all around the country. And for them, it minimizes the risk. So when you're buying a PV system and you have a 25-year life and your mounting structure and your PV panels, and now you have an inverter system that's also been in the market for 20, 25 years, that's reliable and can be serviced, the whole financial proposal becomes more interesting. And that's where the comment that Wadud made about this new financial proposal that they have, where they can help the installer to pass the end users directly onto the financial institute, because now you have a much bigger value offering to offer to the financial, and the supplier gets paid right up front. And then it's a, yeah, so that really aligns with what we want to do, and it aligns with what Zander is saying as well.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's visible that the market has become more complex. We're away from just the technology. We're now looking at, like, at the beginning, we struggled with installing the systems correctly. Still some do. And now we've got all that financing, the management and everything around that we must sort out. How are the Europeans do that, Wadud? Because you said there's lots of projects happening in Europe. And you also said yesterday in the briefing that there is a big pipeline of projects in South Africa. How do you think the Europeans are doing it to get those projects, or what would be a good advice for South African installers to actually close those projects?
Well, in Europe, the European customers are increasingly focused on sustainability and energy independence. And they're looking for solutions that not only reduce their carbon footprint, but also provide reliability and cost savings. And then paired that with the innovative financing models that they have that side, like solar leasing, PPAs, etc. And also the awareness around PV and also the subsidies that they have in place, that makes it easier for them to actually get those projects. I think in South Africa, it is. I think it's providing the solution. I think it's, so far in what I've seen in South Africa, a lot of installers, they just want to sell the products, not a solution. If an installer would come up with a solution, like a holistic approach in that sense, with the funding, with the right equipment, with the energy management system, and also the integration of the various components, like at Intersolar, I saw a lot of. The solutions are also with an integrated AI or machine learning. So there is so much more that you can offer around a PV system. So I think that is going to be essential and key, actually, to set yourself apart in this complex environment that we are in. So just offering the cost-cutting solutions is not going to make you survive in this market condition. So focusing on the good quality solutions. I know Victron, for instance, has definitely the history and the product offering that would qualify for such a a solution, but there are also microinverters, for instance, that hardly anybody knows about. That could be also something that can be used, which in Europe is already a big thing. So there's a whole variety of things that can be included. But I think for now, the key takeaway would be to actually focus on a holistic approach and offer quality solutions with the right service and support behind it.
I think it's good advice. I think South African installers are still so excited about the technology that they forget that their customers maybe are not, and they are just looking for a simple solution. Andre, you want to add something?
You brought up something about sales and the diversification is that we need to really ramp up our skills in selling. For us as a manufacturer as well, we're continuously learning different ways to sell. It doesn't matter how we're doing it, if we're dealing it to a distributor, but that goes right through the value chain. Everybody needs to stay on top of that because you all this extra value add and these extra features, if you don't know how to put the message across to your customer, you're going to lose out and you're not going to have the opportunity to turn that into business. So that's definitely something that people should focus on, spend some time on that, learn some new skills. Yeah, that's very important.
Do our solar sales expert course, which is new, launching in September. Thank you, Andre. One more thing that we saw a lot at the expo, and I haven't been around much, but that I definitely saw, there have been EV chargers at every single stand. And Zander, you said yesterday that solar carports are a thing, using parking structures and combine that with the EV chargers. How relevant is that? Is it worth topping up skills there, specializing in that field?
So unfortunately, the carports are probably the most complex solar system to install. People would assume, well, tracking systems would be the most complex, but your big open area fixed tilt systems are much simpler systems to install than your typical solar carport, which is an unfortunate truth. But yes, there's government programs going out for quite a lot of carports. There's quite a few EV charging companies in the market currently that have done carports. Some of them have changed their approach to get better yields from just purchasing land next to the charging stations and establishing a large open area fixed tilt system there, and then combining that with storage and other solutions to provide effective charging there, or to combine it with wheeling and draw from the grid and do a combination. So there's quite a lot of options in terms of the charging stations. It's definitely something that's not going away. I think there's hundreds of new charging stations coming up every year and thousands of new EVs coming into the country every year, which is growing rapidly. So that is definitely an exciting field. One of the things we were discussing is that it's more and more relevant every year for us to do open area practical training in terms of ramming machines, pile driving machines, and so on. We have a few machines in South Africa which we use for these purposes, but I think the market is quite open on the channel partners and distribution side to as well start providing these machines on a rental basis throughout the country, which is going to, I think, bring the costs down in terms of the installation aspects, but also just enable new areas to have smaller scale projects that don't necessarily have to be utility scale projects. And that again opens up different inverters and other products being used on fixed tilt open area systems that are not currently being used. It usually comes down to what string length installations they do, but there's a very, very interesting combination of ideas that needs to come from all of the OEMs and the channel partners to realize that into the market, actually.
So what I'm hearing is if you're up for a challenge, then you can start focusing on that and be the first person who really knows about those things and become the service provider in that area. Because, I mean, if it's a new area, there's still a lot of space for businesses to join in.
On mounting structure side, it tends to be specialist subcontractors that subcontract to EPCs and energy companies to install all of these systems because it falls slightly outside the typical electrical scope. But Most of the companies, we do see more players coming into the market from the civil engineering sector at the moment, but most of the companies that are successful in this regard have just evolved through their own experiences in the market over the last 10 years, working together with OEMs and energy companies to determine what is the best way forward. So it'd be good to transfer, to codify and transfer that skill for a new generation of solar moving forward now.
Or joining forces with an established construction company and like merging your solar knowledge and the construction knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be good to have standards in this regard eventually as well.
True. Then we start the game that we had with the electrical side. We're gonna see the same in the construction side. Yeah. Good that it's not coming all at once, probably. We have two questions, three questions in the chat. I think we start answering then. And then I have a rapid round of questions to end with, if we still have a couple of seconds or minutes. So first question from the audience is from Eric Kempers. Maybe to clarify, does Kranich mean Lulapay or also a long-term finance solution?
I was meaning LulaPay with the example that I gave, yeah. But you can still reach out to us, and then we can explore what other suitable option we can maybe provide. There are a variety of funding companies that we have in our portfolio, but from our experience, LulaPay is probably the easiest to work with because the vetting process is quick and simple and gives you easily access to funds up to 2 million if you qualify for it. Yeah.
Cool. Same, also a question from Eric, with a bit of context. He's agreeing with the quality solutions, but he says South Africa provides a difficult demographic when it comes to cost affordable versus quality products and services, fighting the cheap package solutions. And his question is, how do we serve the mid-income levels when we talk about affordability and quality?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the cost of a PV system these days, I mean, right now it's probably the PV system has never been so cheap as it is right now. I mean, during the load shedding times, the PV system was more than double in the cost. So now it's a lot more affordable, actually. So you can and should actually focus on a quality solution because it is not that expensive anymore. So if you put that into perspective with the purchase price of that mid-income level group, it is not that much of a big expense anymore. And if you still want to opt for like a cheaper solution just because your competitor is offering for it, then it comes back to the whole topic we had about actually the competency, the knowledge, and also the sales pitch that you have, that you need to actually pitch based on the quality and the longevity of a system. Because you know it's how it goes, Vivian, in German. If you buy cheap, you buy twice. So if you just buy a cheap inverter with a cheap battery, you need to explain to the customer what kind of result that is going to give him at the end of the day. And I believe nowadays in the current market conditions, with the price level that we see, it should be definitely the way to go, providing a quality solution. I'm not necessarily talking about a European brand necessarily, but even good Chinese brands, they are also a lot more affordable. Yeah.
That is true. And again, in our new solar sales expert course, we cover exactly those topics, what to do and how to propose the financial solution in a way that it's convincing and that it's presented as a solution and not as the technology. And by the way, Green alumni get 5% off their first order at Kranich Solar if you need something to convince you to make the first step towards quality products. We have one more question. What are best strategies getting in front of clients? Social media or networking? Do you have any tips or tricks? I mean, you don't sell directly, all of you, but you have lots of clients you deal with. So maybe you hear something from the most successful customers you have. What are they doing? What works? Any of
I
you?
just wanted to just touch on that answer that what Jude gave there, which was very good. And there's a term that we use when you are competing with other lower cost products or cheaper packages, and it's called total cost of ownership. And we're in a very fortunate position, like our dude says, the cost of solutions now have come down by so far. And even, I mean, even our equipment, we've been through a price reduction in the last few years. So you can now explain, I mean, everybody knows what's happened the last few years with load shedding. And if you're now shopping for a solar system nowadays, you know what people are saying in the market. So I think from a sales point of view, if you explain the total cost of ownership of that person buying the product from company A or company B, it doesn't matter what equipment they're buying. They're buying it from a company that's reputable, that's been in the market, that's got a track record. And that's where the total cost of ownership lies and the peace of mind. So it's learning the skill on how to sell that means you can sell basically any solution. But that's a skill that you have to learn. And then the social media question, I think that's very interesting. We're putting a lot of time and effort into that now. What we've learned from social media and networking is if you engineer your social media a bit more and you target your audience, first identify your audience targeted either via certain keywords or geographical area, there's a lot of possibilities there to open more doors for you. But once again, you've got to have your company's image in the right place to sell to those people, to show them who you are. Have customer stories, have happy stories, have sad stories, because people like to see the good and the bad. That's how they make decisions. So rather having them going somewhere else and hearing something bad, you can do it all in-house and you can do it over social media. That's very, very powerful.
Yeah, I can agree on that. I think authenticity is important. When you go the social media route, know that it takes a lot of time, especially TikTok and those platforms. They want content every day. But stick to what you know and be yourself out on there, because people can tell if you're just making something up or if you're sharing like you and what your brand is or is about. And I think especially for smaller installers, it is a great opportunity to present themselves and their individual strength. And you don't have to pretend to be a million rand company with 100 people in the marketing department, because few of us are. We have one more question. The challenge out there for new players, it seems, is the global, is the What is the goalpost on? Oh, it seems the goalpost on requirements are ever changing with regards to professional bodies. What is the difference between SAPVIA and AREB? I think that question is for me. Well, we are accredited under SAPVIA and SAPVIA's PV Green Card program. So SAPVIA, the South African PV Industry Association, is the creator of the PV Green Card program. AREB is another industry association. They have their own quality assurance program. You can look it up what the requirements are. They all assess installers and accredit installers, but it's a bit different. The way they do it is a bit different, and the requirements for the installers are a bit different. For SAPVIA, the PV Green Card assessment requires a practical and a theoretical assessment. So I think the bar is quite high for installers to pass that. And SAPVIA does a lot of awareness raising among the end customers and banks and municipalities around that. So it comes embedded into a whole program. It's not just the installer accreditation and that's it. So in the end, it's a philosophy. It's like a lot in the solar industry, whether you choose this or that product or solution, DC coupled or AC coupled. But yeah, you make your own choice and you decide which one. As long as you have arguments and you know about it and can explain it to your customers, I think that's important. For more detailed questions on SAPVIA and the PV Green Card, you can also always just email us or call us, and we can answer any kind of question there. Okay, then we have reached the end of the hour. It always goes very, very quickly. Maybe we have time for One last word from each of you. A new trend or a new topic, or maybe an old topic that is worth investigating. Maybe each of you can say one. And then that's our final word. Something you saw at Interstellar
Okay.
where you're like,
From
that.
the Interstellar. I was going to say something else. Actually, I know you guys also offer your trainings, but we have training events coming up. So I just wanted to actually emphasize that we have training events coming up in Johannesburg and in Cape Town. So please check out our website. There you'll find the training dates. And yeah, I would like to stress that again. Please take the opportunity, take part in it, or send your staff even to those training events. Then,
Thank you.
something that I think is also what I want to mention today is microinverters. That is something a lot of people in South Africa still don't know yet. And we have Enphase also present at those training events, and that is something very interesting also for you guys to see and understand what kind of technology that is. I mean, this is also something that you can differentiate yourself with. It's an American company, and it's also integrated with the Victron operating system. So definitely worth checking it out.
Sorry to interrupt. Maybe we leave the details for the webinar and
Yeah, okay.
the upcoming
Sorry.
sales chat with you. Andre, next.
Very short, automation and smart solutions. I think that's where we're heading for us especially. So keep a lookout for that.
Sounds good. Zander?
Yeah, I think with relation to the sales questions that were coming up in the group, always interesting to understand what your opposition is selling to the customers, and then use your offering as a point of differentiation. I know in mounting structure we see it regularly that even the big players in the market for residential tend to use the cheapest mounting structure that they can possibly find, and that is a big concern for a homeowner because you can create leaks, you can damage rafters, you can cause all sorts of problems for the guy's house down the line. So creating a bit of fear in the homeowner with regards to the quality is always a good strategy there to win some customers. Secondly, if you play on the bigger side of the field, it might be worthwhile looking into your local EPCs and see if there's potential to subcontract work from them, because there's always seems to be a bit of work going around that side. But for the rest, yeah, our general outlook, just looking forward to doing more and more training sessions on both on the rooftop side as well as the ground mount side this year, together with Green Solar. So thanks for the support. And let us know what we can do to support you to elevate the market in Africa.
Nice. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's good. It's exciting times, lots of new products, lots of new solutions to learn about, lots of support available in the market as well. Is it mean to say it's not the market, it's you if you are not selling at the moment? Maybe it is. It is challenging times, I know. But thank you to my three panelists for offering help and support for our alumni and for being available. I will share your contact details in the follow-up email, or Tsakani will do that. And then I hope lots of you guys in the audience get in touch and inquire about the solutions and make plans how to get ahead and don't let yourself be depressed by the seemingly difficult times, but let's be excited and see what we can do together. Thank you so much. That's it for today, and we'll see you next time in another online alumni event. Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks, Vivian.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.